The Associated Press and its partner, the newsreel archive British Movie Tone, just released about 500,000 clips of historical footage, all up for viewing on AP's new YouTube channel. For history buffs with some time on their hands, the channel offers unique footage, things like Martin Luther King Jr. under arrest in Selma, Alabama, and the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Our next guest spent some time exploring the new channel, and he joins us now to tell us what he found. Jonathan Pollock is a history professor at Madison Area Technical College. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thanks, Veronica. Nice to be back.
Well, this seems like it's part of a push to digitize and democratize the viewing of stuff that's been usually locked up in museums, it's been in archives, been out of reach for the general public. How big a deal is a footage dump like this for historians and the average person?
Well, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. Based on my look at the site, I kind of poked around on it a few times. It's really good for very recent history. So if you were trying to get video of a story that ran maybe a couple months ago or a couple years ago, it's going to be fairly easy to find. There's going to be a title on there and so forth. If you're trying to go back further, the AP's done a nice job of curating a few kind of playlists on the channel. So if you're looking for wars, there's kind of a channel for that and so forth. But if you're looking for things of like local interest, if you remember, like if you saw a presidential candidate give a speech campaigning in your hometown in 1972
just
or something
for
like
instance.
That, it's going to be hard to do. The searches also were, you know, I tried just using search terms and I tried a few random things and sometimes it seemed to work out, sometimes it didn't. There's huge potential. It seems to me like the big thing, more than for individuals or for presentations, it's a way for AP to boast of their stock footage holdings. That's a huge thing for people who are making documentaries, or for people who are making ads. I mean, there are lots of ads out there that involve people photoshopped into historic images and things like that. And it seems like that's kind of the big market. It's also a little unwieldy to use because each clip comes with an ad at the beginning of it. Like every single one I tried, there was always an ad there. So, you need to really play with it a little bit. If you're going to insert the video like into a presentation, was one of the ideas I had for it, was I thought, okay, I can now take my lectures and just put this AP video in. There's going to be a whole lot of transferring and various like little hacks you can do to get the ad off of there and to edit the clip once it's off YouTube. So for people with stronger technical chops than myself, and for people who do this in their daily work, it's going to be great. For the average person just kind of poking around YouTube and putting off going to bed or getting work done or whatever, it's a little unwieldy but still kind of interesting. You still stumble on some fun stuff.
Now, I had fun reading some of the pieces about it because there's one up on the Central Time Facebook page right now that includes a curated list of 15 cool historical videos that I hadn't seen, which were kind of remarkable. One that I don't know, maybe I would have seen somewhere, but it certainly didn't remember that had a big impact, was Nelson Mandela leaving prison. Here it is.
There's Mr. Mandela, Mr. Nelson Mandela, a free man taking his first steps into a new South Africa. Mrs. Winnie Mandela next to him, waving to the crowds, hand in hand. They leave the Victor Verster prison. Officials, marshals of the National Reception Committee trying to get the people, and a salute from Mr. Nelson Mandela, his wife Winnie, greeting the people outside the fences of the Victor Verster prison.
And that was a really cool one for me to see. Originally, you and I talked about playing a clip of the Titanic leaving port. Well, it turns out that's from, 1912, and that footage is completely silent. Would have made for the worst audio clip ever, but it was still cool to watch.
Well, and one of the things I liked in the Titanic clip was something that popped up in other clips I viewed as well, and that was the selections, the things that the AP has put up, they're a mix of what actually went out over the air and just raw footage that news editors would cut and paste as needed. So in the Titanic footage, there's a lot of people just kind of standing around, you know, and 1912 standard filming, the editing is much slower, the takes are much longer. So it was a 9-minute clip, and it seemed like it was about half an hour. It just seemed very long mm-hmm. to just sit there in front of my computer and watch it. But even on more recent things, like there was I came across a Harry Truman campaigning in like 1950. no, not 52, 48, I guess. And there are these great shots where you see them, you see like Truman, like kind of testing the mic, and there's no audio, but you can tell he's kind of joking with the people who are on the dais with him. And then he starts talking and the audio comes on and there's like a campaign speech. And so for me, I really enjoyed like the before and after, like watching the sort of aftermath where the camera just kind of hangs out on the crowd while the politician gets off the stage and people try to go in for handshakes. And you see like that kind of retail politicking where the president's kind of doing it by rote, and then some county chairman or something he knows pops up and he's kind of like, hey, and you know, points at him. And just that, for me, like looking at the everydayness of the people on this footage was kind of neat, because you don't get to see that in an actual newscast. That's all edited out and cleaned up, and you just get the meat of what the story is.
We're talking to Jonathan Pollock right now. He's a history professor at Madison Area Technical College. Recently, the Associated Press, with its partner British Movietone, released about 500,000 clips of historical footage. Jonathan's been digging around in that massive collection to tell us what he found. And you were talking about those behind-the-scenes look. There was one, again, not a great clip to play on the radio, but Martin Luther King Jr. being arrested with others in Selma, Alabama. The sound was fuzzy, but you could hear the hoarseness of the police officer trying to arrest the crowds based on what they'd done. You heard singing in the background. You saw the faces. And that was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that raw footage is really powerful. I mean, that's something for, I don't know, for any aspiring documentarians who are listening this afternoon, would be something to really think about including, is to get like a little more of that in there, because you get, because again, it's not rehearsed, the sound's not fully on, it's chaotic, it's, you know, things are drowned out and so forth, but that makes it, I feel like that makes it a lot more real. I mean, when you're in a crowd, if you're in a crowd watching something big happening, or you're, you know, it's a scene of protest or some kind of tension, some kind of standoff like that, you really don't know what's going to happen, and you just kind of hear like these random sounds come out, and it might be what you're expecting to hear, it might not be, but to have that footage, it's very real, it's very gritty, and that's kind of a big advantage of the whole collection.
And you mentioned some footage of stuff that actually did air, including a strange little reel of the stock market crash, and also a guy who had, this is prior to the stock market crash segment, but right before that there was an airing of a guy who'd allowed himself to be hit by a car to test this new bumper that rolled him down the street instead of hurting him. But then right into that, they go into this segment about the stock market crash.
October 29th, 1929, Black Tuesday. The New York Stock Exchange is in a panic. Frantic investors have scrambled to unload their stocks at any price. Everyone wants to sell. No one wants to buy. Suddenly, even the most gilt-edged securities are practically valueless. The stock market crash has come, and the Great Depression has begun.
It's funny how cinematized that is.
Well, I think it is cinematized. I mean, people weren't calling it the Great Depression in October of 1929 yet. All they knew was that stocks took a big tumble, and presumably, I think the conventional wisdom at that time was, all right, well, this is a good time to buy. They're coming back up. And they just didn't. You know, stocks continued to fall further. So that, I mean, that clip, and again, that wasn't one that I happened to view when I poked around, but it sounds to me like that was part of a package that AP did on the Depression sometime after the fact. That I think the term Depression is really kind of, you start seeing that like maybe around the time Roosevelt's elected, about 1933 or so. And that prior to that, that wasn't quite in there. So I think that's why it's kind of cinematic, is that when they made that, they kind of knew how it turned out.
It was a degree of separation.
Yeah, right. It wasn't an immediate thing. You know, you go into a movie theater on like, you know, in early November of 1929, and that's what's on the newsreel footage that particular day.
Why do you think that institutions like the Associated Press, and they're not alone in this, there are lots of museums, but why have they been in the habit of sitting on footage and materials that are archival instead of releasing them?
Well, I mean, there's money to be made from it. You know, as I mentioned, the commercial market for that kind of stuff is it's really, you know, it's quite lucrative. They can charge a huge amount of money for a small clip of film. I worked in the film archives at the Wisconsin Historical Society about 20-some years ago when I first moved to Madison. And so I remember we'd get these requests all the time, and It's a constant struggle that people are making ads, people are making films. They want as much footage as possible. If you're making a film, you're just like, you need footage all the time. They want it and they don't want to pay for it. I think what's kind of going on here is that AP realizes they're kind of losing the battle, that if they sit on it, they have no chance at getting royalties and reuse fees and so forth from entities that want to use it. That by putting ads on there, by having the AP logo in the top of the frame, as many of them do, they have a chance at holding on to that, onto some of that revenue stream. I think they realize that a lot of people are going to get in there and they're going to hack it and they're going to edit it and get it out of there. But it's more they feel like there's a future in getting it out there, getting it online, so people can contact them for proper use according to the laws of copyright, so they can collect some funding from that.
So this is kind of analogous to how the music business is creating digital downloads of individual songs and trying to get a little bit of money off?
I think it is kind of like that. I mean, I think it's also, thinking back to the job I had back in the early 90s, it's also, you know, as happens in music, as happens in lots of fields, it's a way to sort of replace people. You know, in when AP sat on these documents, you'd have to call there and talk to an archivist and say, okay, I want X amount of footage on Y event or with Z person in there or whatever. And now you just do it yourself. You just log on to YouTube and you play around for a while and you say, ah, there he is, Eisenhower, boom. And then you just contact AP and pay for it. And AP doesn't then have to pay for an archivist to go through the catalog and the footage and say, okay, here's a medium shot of Eisenhower giving a speech.
As just a consumer of history, not professionally like you, though, I have to say it was some powerful stuff. I rewatched, against probably my better judgment, the September 11th attacks amateur video. A lot of swears being dropped, maybe very understandably, but it is powerful.
Yeah, no, and I think that goes back to what I was saying about the raw footage, that's some of the real value of it. And it's hard. Raw footage isn't really a search term that they've got that you can use real well. But if you poke around on it, when you see that truly spontaneous stuff instead of the packages done after the fact, yeah, it's real impressive.
John, thanks so much for digging through it with us and talking about it today.
Thanks, Veronica.
We've been talking to Jonathan Pollock, history professor at Madison Area Technical College.